Book of Psalms, chapter 139, verse 1 to 2. Chapter 139, verse 1 and 2. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising, and Thou understandest my thought afar off. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you all, my brothers and sisters. I bring the greetings to you all today in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank the Lord for our life that we are all breathing today. I pray the Lord bless our hearts that we are thankful and grateful. Amen. The book of Psalm, chapter 139, David, the chief musician, he brings forth the outpouring of his heart by the abundance of the Lord's inspiration, saying that the Lord knows his downsitting and his uprising. The Lord knows the valley and the mountain of David. The Lord knows the joy and the sufferings of David. And the Lord knows the waiting period and the rising time of David. The Lord knows the pain and the darkest moments and happiness and the brightest moments of David. But in all these things, David knows that God is with him. Hallelujah. That assurance is unwavering. It is not bound to the time that we live in. It is not bound to what we go through in this world. It is not even bound to our grace and mercy that we received in our life. God is above all, beyond our imagination. His greatness cannot be measured. He dwells in an unapproachable light. And he told us, my grace is sufficient to thee. And David says, Lord, you know, Lord, my downsitting, when I will sit and when I will rise, when I will fall and when I will rise, when I will be sick and when I will heal. Lord, you know. And you understand my thoughts afar off, even from a far distance, O Lord. You see me and you know what exactly I'm thinking, I'm going through, what I'm expecting. All my inner thoughts, my deep intentions are cut open, uncovered when the shepherd, the master, see us even at a far distance. The Lord will guide us today. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Mark, the Gospel, chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 37. Chapter 4, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 41 says, The disciples did not know Jesus who really is, because they were surprised that wind and sea obey him. Heavens and earth bow before him. All things are subject to him, the only one, the holy one, and the mighty one of Israel. Book of Psalm opens the heart of David, and the Gospel of Mark uncovers the heart of the disciples. David says, Lord, you know my downsitting and you know my uprising. And the disciples in chapter 4, they say, Lord, you do not know our downsitting and you do not know our uprising because you don't care for us. Unfaithfulness at peak, doubt and confusion at complete uncovered nakedness. When Jesus was sleeping in the hinder part of the ship, there was a pillow. Did you notice the word pillow in that scripture? Why there was a pillow? It was prepared that Jesus would rest in the hinder part of the ship. And they awake him. He did not want to open his eyes to awake. He was just resting. The scripture says they awake him. They disturbed him. They went and asked him, give me this, give me that. He was simply resting. And then they said unto him, Master, don't you care that we are perishing? And we look at the Prince of Life and we tell the Prince of Life, don't you see we are dying? If we are dying, then how can he be the Prince of Life? See, when the flesh kicks in, you would see we are lying. When the flesh kicks in, you would see we will find justifications, excuse, we will find reasons, compromise here and there. But at the end of the day, you look at your face on the mirror, you know we are all liars. Because we are called to stand before the truth, the Son of Man. When we become unfaithful, full of pride, full of selfish, dishonest gains, full of confusions, personal ambitions, whatever that we say, the Lord, Lord, we are suffering, why you are not healing? The Lord would say, you are a liar. We would say, Lord, you are not delivering us, you are not redeeming us, and the Lord would say, you are a liar. Because how can the disciples can perish when the Prince of Life is with them? Because his name is Prince of Life. There is no perishing, there is only uprising. He was expecting them to stay down sitting, as David said. There was a pillow, which means he was prepared to sleep. It was all prepared, it was there. It was not something new. The pillow was there. The problem that we all face is we want the Lord to sit in the throne of our heart, but we don't want the Lord to sleep in the pillow in our boat. Why? For us, we want grand miracles. We want the Lord to sit in the throne of our heart and give us grace, give us mercy, give us miracles, give us healing, give us deliverance, give us mighty revival. We want this and that. But we don't want our Prince of Life, our Shepherd, our Master, who was weary sitting near the Jacob's well, telling his creation, the Samaritan woman, I am weary, give me to drink. But we don't want that Lord to go and find a pillow in our heart and sleep. And the Lord was so truthful when he said, there was not a place for the Son of Man to rest his head. There was no place, because the flesh cannot give place for the spirit to rest. And God said in the Old Testament, I look down and I look for a man to stand in the gap for me, and I find none. And Jesus tells all of us, and I look into the hearts of my children. If we are filled in flesh and I don't see the pillow for me to rest, I only see the people who always want to awake me, who always want me to listen to them, do them this, do them that. The true storm, my dear brothers and sisters, was not on the ocean, was not on the sea. The true storm was in the hearts of the people who were seated in the boat. They were supposed to be seated, but they rebelled against downsitting. They wanted to go for uprising. But when they were supposed to be downsitting, they were supposed to be downsitting, not uprising. So Jesus Christ, he is looking into our hearts, and we are looking outside our hearts, looking at our financial problems, looking at our family problems, looking at our misunderstandings, looking at our pain, hurt, looking into our past that happened many years ago, many decades ago, many hours ago, whatever it is. But the Lord says, you are creating the storms in the ocean of your heart, and you are not giving me a pillow for me to rest in the boat of your heart. The true storm that we are all facing is not the sickness of our body, is not the problems in your workplace, is not the pain and hurt that we cause to one another in the house and in the house of the Lord. The true storm is you, yourself, the deeper reflection of your thoughts, the deeper intentions of your mind. What you want creates the storm that you would face. And Jesus said, he arose and rebuked the wind. He did not request, he did not bless, he rebuked. The Lord rebukes whatever is against his will. Hallelujah. The Lord rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, he rebuked all our flesh and said unto our hearts, peace, be still. Be still in the state of down sitting. The time will come, you will go to the state of uprising. But until then, just dance with me, sing with me, pray with me, study the scripture with me, fellowship with me. Do not forsake the fellowship of my house. And verse 40, he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? He did not even say less faith. No faith. No faith. The scripture says, when there is a law, when one compromise one law, he is guilty of law. He is guilty of all. And the book of Revelation says, when you compromise the word of God, add anything, remove anything, you are guilty of all, because the truth is polluted. It is not the truth anymore. And the Lord says, how is it that ye have no faith? Very similar to how the book of Corinthians, Apostle Paul says, you may have all knowledge, all wisdom, you may have seen prophecies, you may have heard prophecies, but everything will fail, will profiteth nothing when you lose the charity, the agape love of God, the spirit of anointing. If there is no anointing, then where is the agape love of God? How can we separate the anointing of the Holy Ghost from the agape love of the Almighty? We cannot. He is all in all. So, the reason why I started with Mark 4 is our physical sense will always focus on the storm that was presented in Mark 4. But my precious dear brethren, there was a greater storm in the next chapter. Chapter 5. Chapter 5. They came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately, so all of a sudden, immediately, as if someone was waiting to be seen, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Mark chapter 5 verse 2. So they met a man with unclean spirit after they reached the other side of the shore, after this experience of Jesus Christ teaching them a lesson for a spiritual inner man. Verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. No man could bind him, like the tongue that no man can tame. And verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Do you see the storm that I am talking about right now inside of him? There is a storm that is not listening to anyone, that is not going calm, that is not accepting to surrender to anyone. It is untamed, tormenting him deep inside. And nobody could put him into chains. And he was keep on delivering himself to go back to the captivity of flesh. And verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Mental depression of the young generation. Aggression, violence, arrogance, causing hurt, hurting themselves. We are witnessing this today in the generation, in the church age. We can see what's happening to the world today. Taking the stone by themselves, hurting themselves with their own thoughts, own actions, own understanding, twisting the word, and those who do not know the word, they all do the same, harming themselves. If we do not carry the chief cornerstone that will become the foundation, if we carry some other stone, that stone will become the self-harming tool and we will destroy ourselves. That is verse 5. Night and day, he was in the mountains, not on the holy mountain. He was in the tombs, not in the tomb which was empty. The Lord, my Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the tomb, the tabernacle which I am supposed to be, crying and cutting himself, not crying to Abba Father in heaven, cutting himself, not let the gardener to prune himself, but rather he cut himself with stones, not by the chief cornerstone, with multiple stones, not by the single truth, but by the polluted, divided, vain doctrines of men. The false ministries, false understanding, lack of understanding, the true unclean spirit that was tormenting him. But there is only one spirit, God Almighty. Everything else is carnal. Verse 6, but when Jesus saw him afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Hallelujah. Let's go back. Book of Psalm, chapter 139, verse 2. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Mark, chapter 4, verse 6. And Jesus saw him afar off, and he ran and worshipped him. After Jesus saw him, the light of my Savior fell on my face, and I realized that I'm a creation, belong to my Creator. Even though the unclean spirit was pulling him down, tormenting him down, it could not hold him. The storm could not destroy him. The deeper inner storm could do nothing to him. He ran to Jesus, worshipped him, crying for deliverance without telling, because his free will was compromised by the possession. Sometimes we cannot wait for people to come by themselves. They could not, because they are in the captivity of prison. They need deliverance. We must exercise the force of the Spirit of the Lord and take the power and authority in His name and proclaim deliverance for those who are unable to bring back to the common sense. The mind is compromised. You see, verse 7, he says, and cried with loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus Christ? Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. He is requesting him that you don't do this to me. But did Jesus listen to that free will? Did Jesus listen to that permissive will? No, because he knows that his seed was hidden inside the captivity. He had to exercise his force. He arose with power. He rebuked the storm of the ocean. He rebuked the unclean spirit of that man. Both are same. Mark 4, Mark 5, it speaks the same miracle, same healing from a perspective of a single soul and the perspective of a congregation, of a group of people, a fellowship. When Jesus said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And Jesus told the disciples, peace be still, and he rebuked the storm. My brethren, chapter 5, verse 8 depicts how the Lord calmed the storm. But verse 15 is so beautiful. Verse 15 is the true uprising of that man. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. Sitting clothed in his right mind. David said in the book of Chronicles, set your heart and your soul and seek the Lord. And Mark 5, chapter 5, verse 15, and he was sitting clothed and in his right mind to seek the Lord. And those who saw him, they were afraid. Now this time they were afraid by seeing this man sitting clothed with right hand, with right mind. If you see him spiritually, he is standing upright in the right mind, which is true understanding. My brethren, the storm that was putting him in the tombs, isolation, depression, weariness, lack of understanding, it could not hold him when Jesus saw him afar off. The Lord saw all of us on Calvary and he endured everything for the joy that we would be sitting today, resting in His presence with the right mind, the mind of Christ, clothing, the clothing of the Holy Spirit, the garment of salvation. And the Lord saw all of it. And now we are sitting, resting with assurance, and the whole world, the wickedness would look at us and they will be scared, my dear brethren. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. We are the light because He is the light. Hallelujah. Chapter 12, verse 7 to 8, book of Acts. Chapter 12, verse 7 to 8. Chapter 12, verse 7. Remember what happened to this man. And now look at what happened to Peter, apostle. Chapter 12, verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. There was a command, a instruction. There was no option given. There was no such word such as, "Do you want to arise? Do you consider to arise?" No. The angel of the Lord took the accountability, authority upon the Son of God, Apostle Peter, and told him, commanded him, "Arise quickly, immediately, do not linger." Loth was lingering, and the two angels pulled him inside to the house, because the two angels were commissioned to preserve the life of Loth. And Apostle Peter must be preserved, and the angel of the Lord told him, "Arise up quickly, don't delay. If you know to do good today, if you do not do, then you commit sin. If you know to go and tell my brother, my sister, I love you, forgive me for what I did, and if you cannot say, you commit sin today, not tomorrow, today." Because the angel of the Lord told Apostle Peter and to all the churches who are rooted in apostolic faith, because the Lord told Peter, "You are the rock, upon you I will build the church." The Lord used him mightily. And Apostle Paul came and he took over and he preached the gospel to the Gentiles. And here, what we read here is, Peter arose quickly and the chains fell off from his hand. And Jesus Christ looked at the man who was struggling with this unclean spirit and he told him, "You will be delivered," by telling that unclean spirit, "Come out of this man." And the storm was calmed and he was sitting clothed with right mind. And Apostle Paul, chains fell off. Anything that is trying to pull you down, that chain, my brother, my sister, it will fall off in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, not tomorrow. Today is the day. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. He obeyed. He obeyed. Immediately he obeyed. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Hallelujah. Cast thy garment, follow me, and put on my garment. Do not hide in thine house. Leave and come to my house. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 9, verse 33. Chapter 9, verse 33. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt in Lydia. And there he found a certain man named Annas, and which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Eight, we know it represents new beginning. Something is going to happen to this man now. A new beginning. Verse 34. And Peter said unto him, "Annas, Jesus Christ make thee whole, arise and make thy bed." And he arose immediately. Angel of the Lord told Peter, "Arise quickly." And Peter told the man 3 chapters before, "Arise immediately." And he was able to arise immediately. Today, now, salvation is now. Salvation is now. Chapter 9, same chapter, verse 40 and 41. Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, "Tabitha, arise, Tabitha, arise." Beautiful words spoken by Peter, uttering the name and uttering the command. Tabitha, the name, arise, the action. Tabitha, the name, arise, the action. My brother, my sister, your name, arise, the part of the word in your life. It must come to manifest. It must bring forth the life. It must fulfill what the Lord wants you to fulfill. Do not linger. And she opened her eyes. The Lord removed the blindness. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And when that man who was possessed, he saw Jesus, he ran toward him and worshipped him. And when this woman, Tabitha, she saw Peter. No, she saw Jesus in Peter. She saw Jesus Christ in the
apostolic faith of that fivefold ministry. She sat up, but she could not stand. But Peter said, arise, but she could only sat up. She could not stand. Do you see the revelation here? We ourselves cannot do anything alone, my dear brothers and sisters. There is no spirituality in isolation. There is no fellowship in isolation. She could not stand up because she was able to sit up, showing her submission, showing her willingness, showing her desire, and she denied herself and she sat up, but she could not stand. Verse 41, and he gave her his hand. Jesus Christ gave his life for you. Jesus Christ, with his mighty hand, he lifted you up from the miry clay. Verse 41, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Are we alive in Christ today? May the Lord bless us. May the Lord bless us. We can sit up, but we need the mighty hand of God to stand up. And that mighty hand of God is in the fellowship of God. The Lord would bless us that we lift up one another, carry one another, stand up one another. Not tomorrow, not sometime later, not sometime when you want. Do not delay in performing the commandments of the Lord. Arise quickly, immediately. Today is the day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. The Lord is with you. Amen.